Hello, hello. Welcome back to No Sevens Podcasts, Movie Reviews. I'm your host, Silas, joined by, of course, your co-hosts, David and Caleb. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Raya and the Last Dragon, 2021 PG release, directed by Don Hall and Carlos Lopez Estrada and Paul Briggs. Interesting. Three people, starring Kelly Marie Tran, Awkwafina, and Gemma Chan. I guess it's Gemma.
Awkwafina. Yeah. I didn't know that was her name.
I think it's like that's, her.
It's her stage name.
Sure, but
regardless,
like I only know Awkwafina as water.
Kendrick Lamar, or.
But dude, how perfect is that? That her name is Awkwafina and she's the water dragon.
This is true.
Do you think that went? Do you think that went into the casting decision?
Maybe, maybe
because it should have.
Maybe they thought this is a water dragon. Who do we know who has a name that is water related?
I mean, they looked for Dasani. They looked for Fiji. they scoured for Nestle Pure Life. That Awkwafina was the only one they could find.
All right. let's jump into this. See, this is going to be maybe a rough episode, listeners, because although in real time it's been only a week since you last heard from us, in podcast time it's been a hot minute for us.
Oh.
So I don't even know if we remember how to do this.
We're shaking off the rust.
Yeah.
Cobwebs.
Yes. WD-40 action going on. Yeah. We are greasing the wheels.
All right, Frank. Let's dive into our another water joke there. Dive into our non-spoiler review and our under over. I'll kick it off. I think that, you know, this is my non-spoiler review. Ain't no Lion King, and that's all I'm going to say about that. It's an under for me.
Oh, an under. Okay.
Who wants to go next?
I can go, I guess. I just finished watching the movie probably less than half an hour ago. And it's an under for me as well. I don't know exactly why. It's a fun little movie, you know, for kids and stuff. But there's just too many. I don't know. We'll talk about it more in the spoiler section, but it just didn't seem super original in plot or thought, really. I mean, but I'll get into it.
Well, I hate to disagree with you guys, but it's also an under for me. Just underwhelming in so many ways.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to disagree with us and say it was an over.
No, it was under. I agreed with you.
All right, let's get into everybody think of their spoiler. All right. In 3, 2, 1, Tail Chief dies.
Baby saves the world.
The last dragon comes back to life. Twice.
that's true.
Yeah, I think the Tail Chief is the only person who dies and actually stays dead.
Yeah, suffered a natural cause of death.
Just kind of sat in a tree for too long.
Yeah.
I don't know what even that is.
Yeah.
But that's what happened to her.
Man.
She was just like, I'm sitting in this tree with my dragon gem shard, pretty hungry.
I think her bridge or whatever like broke, so she like couldn't get across. But also they could have like jumped that.
Yeah, there had to have been something, but
I don't know.
To no avail.
You'd think somebody, she would have just been like, "Hey guys, I'm stuck here,"
or just leave the stone there. Like,
yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, there's just so many. Just in that one small detail, which really has nothing to do with the movie, other than, you know, that's where one of the stones was. But it's like, okay, if you can't get to the stone and you can't get away from the stone. Just leave it in the tree and you find a way out. Like, tie a rope and then cut the rope. But I guess that's neither here nor there.
Well, you... Yeah, we're going to...
We're way too far. I was about to, like, go
way farther out. No. Okay. let's kick it off with some discussion questions. What do you guys think just about the setting of this, the visuals of this, the movie part of the movie?
Number one, hated the dragons. They're
like, they from looked, an aesthetic standpoint,
they look pretty dumb.
They had the attitude of a cat and the movement of a snake. It just didn't make any, it was like, this is not at all what a dragon should look like. Furry. They kind of reminded me of, and this is, Eric was the one who actually brought this up. They reminded me of a furry towards the end. I'm like, I've seen these somewhere, and it's those adults who dress in furry costumes.
Ah!
That's what the dragons reminded us of. And it's okay. Like,
terrifying.
I get it that they can't be too, I guess, maybe scary for kids. But, I mean, think about Mishu from Mulan. He was...
Mushu.
That too.
I mean, even Mushu. Like, you talk about Lion King, David, like Scar? Like, there's some scary characters out there.
It's too soft.
Yeah. I don't think they designed the dragons out of concern for, like, kids being able to handle it. Because there is, like, a dead skeleton body in this movie, as we've already discussed. I think it was just an aesthetic choice of, like, that's what they wanted them to look like.
Sure. Regardless, I guess, of the reasoning, it should have been different. But that's just how I feel about it.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
I didn't mind the animation. I thought it was a little weird with the voices. I don't know if you all felt like it was totally on sync or whatever, but something about that kind of bothered me.
Yeah, I agree. I might have noticed that once or twice now that you mention it.
Like, visually, it didn't bother me. I thought everything was, like, fine. Not groundbreaking or anything, but...
Yeah. I feel like this movie... This is where I think this movie went wrong, is I think they invested a lot of effort into making it look cool and forgot to make it be cool. Like, like, I think this movie just needed, like, another year in development. You know what I mean? Like, they just needed to kind of, like, polish a bunch of stuff up and kind of, like, flesh it out and kind of, like, you know, figure some stuff out and then do all the, like, aesthetic stuff. Because, like, Raya is, like, a cool, you know, her, like, aesthetic is very cool, and, like, you know, a lot of the, like, artwork promoting the movie is, like, looks cool, and she's got her, like, you know, samurai hat and her sword, and it's, like, squiggly and got the dragon on it, and, like, there's, like, all the, like, different, like, environments of, like, the desert and the, you know.
They try to take too many different elements from things, I think, or the inspiration came from too many things, and they forgot about the storytelling.
Yeah, yep. I agree with that. We'll get into that in a second because I have a lot of things to say about the storytelling. What about the world building?
That was something I had some thoughts on. I thought
hit us.
It was like they tried to do Mulan and Avatar: The Last Airbender, and it was just like, I don't know. I mean, I applaud them because those are both cool and successful things, but I don't think, like we talked about the storytelling, I think they missed it. They missed a beat.
Yep. That was, I mean,
is
my thoughts.
Is that what you were
exactly
thinking, Caleb?
Yeah, well, I was sitting there probably about halfway through the movie, and I'm like, this reminds me of about six other movies. And Mulan and The Last Airbender, and, you know, The Last Airbender, a TV show.
I mean, that's like a 5-6 season show, right?
Yeah. So Mulan, The Last Airbender, I got some Avengers vibes from just like the, you know, collecting the pieces.
The stones.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
I mean, just a lot of different stuff happening. Oh my, I just hit that mic. Just a lot of different stuff happening, and I was like, it seems like this wasn't, that's why I said it didn't seem that original with like the way that they broke it out and stuff like that.
I feel that.
Yeah. The intro was like very like Avatar The Last Airbender-esque, yeah. But like not as good.
No.
I was kind of feeling like when they were doing the intro, I was kind of like, can we just watch Avatar instead?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Long ago,
the four the music did not slap. The narration didn't slap.
Yeah.
You didn't like the music.
Well, just for the intro part, like when you think of Airbender, yeah. It's like water, earth.
Yeah.
You know? And this did not have that vibe.
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying of like it does feel like a little bit derivative of a lot of different things. Now that you bring that up.
And I think, like nothing's truly original for the most part. Right. But this was like pretty obviously taking inspo from things.
Yeah. I think one of the things I didn't like about the world building specifically is like this whole like Kumandra environment, like world, like mythical world that they're in seems pretty complex in terms of like the way that they think it functions. But there's very little information actually given about Kumandra or like former the you know landmass formerly known as Kumandra. Because like
the artist never formerly known as Prince.
Yes, that's what I was kind of like doing a callback to there. Like we're never really told like anything about like the different like nations and what makes them unique, other than like the kinds of weapons that they use basically or whatever. Or like we never really get a very developed image of their culture. We don't know hardly anything about Heart. We don't know.
That's so true. I didn't even really understand that they were their own nation for like 90% of the movie.
Right. But we also like the only thing we know about them is that they're like they have the dragon gem and they're allegedly very prosperous. But we're not told like how they got the dragon gem. Which I think you might remember this, Caleb, because you just watched this movie. But in the intro, don't they say like after the dragons brought everybody back, like people started fighting over the dragon gem?
Yes. Well, yes, partially. I mean, that was that people started fighting over it. They like, oh, the dragon gem should be a cause for unity, but instead, people fought over it, and so we had to keep it hidden and protected. I think if you remember, like, kind of at the end of the movie, whenever, what's her name? Sisu? What's the dragon's?
Yeah, Sisu.
Whenever she was kind of, like, recapping what exactly happened, it seemed like the gem just kind of landed where it was. I mean, that's where the big thing happened. And so I think they kind of then just built the protection around the gem from what I kind of gathered, which is why it landed, or that's how it kind of ended up in Heart. That's what it seemed like to me, at least.
Yeah. That was kind of a question of like how did Heart get the dragon gem in the first place? Who decided that they should be the ones who have it and protect it? How do we actually know that it doesn't make them prosperous? Like, do they even know how the dragon gem works or what it does? How do they know it's not like causing their prosperity? So that was a little interesting to me. I guess that's maybe a lot to cover in a movie, but I felt like that we were supposed to be experiencing like a very lush, complex world that wasn't actually very lush or complex.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. David, everything you just said there about like all those questions you asked, that sounds like a 5 or 6 season television show could really cover those kind of questions. Kind of like the Avatar.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, no, but I agree. It wasn't, you know, just kind of thrown in there. Like this is what it is. This is kind of what happened. And now everybody is fighting over it.
Well, I feel like even like what the plot was, there was a lot of like talking to explain it.
Right.
Like there was a lot of like tell and not showing.
And there's a lot of obvious like, oh, this is an info plot dump, like where the father's talking to Raya and stuff, and it's just basic.
Yeah. He was like, our people have guarded the dragon gem for 500 years. I was like, doesn't she already know that?
Yeah. Like, show me. Don't tell me.
Obviously saying that for the audience's benefit. let's talk about the music real quick. I don't have a whole lot to say about this. Do you guys like the music?
Can't remember it.
I just watched it and can't even remember it.
That's kind of all you need to say. Gotcha. Like.
Okay.
Yeah.
I listened to it at work today because I listen to a lot of movie scores while I'm working. It's good. It's not groundbreaking, but it's good. Like, I put it in my rotation.
Okay.
But it's not like... Yeah, I think that I find that with a lot of movies, though. Like, there are a lot of movies that have really enjoyable, particularly like superhero movies. Like, even if the movie itself isn't that good, like, sometimes listening to like the soundtrack just by itself, it can be more enjoyable from a musical standpoint than like experiencing it as part of the movie, because you get to kind of get to just like hear the music itself. Whereas in the movie, it kind of gets covered over by dialogue and stuff like that. So sometimes like just like mediocre movies will have really good soundtracks. Like, what is it? Like
The X-Men, Dark Knight?
Dark Phoenix? No, Dark Knight is great movie and great soundtrack, but X-Men, like Dark Phoenix or whatever, like pretty mediocre movie, great soundtrack. Anyway.
Uncovering things I never knew.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever even thought to listen to unless it was like literal music, you know, maybe like an artist produced. I haven't really ever thought to listen to the score.
Well, it's good for like a couple, but not like you for work.
Yeah, it's good working music because it's kind of like you're watching a movie, but not really. It's like, I don't know, the right like level of mental stimulation. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Did you guys find the characters compelling? Start with Raya. What did you guys think of Raya as a character?
She was good.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't know. And that's really not a dig at her, you know, that character or this movie in particular. But, man, I have such a hard time watching movies and, like, feeling connected to the character, I would say 90% of the time. That's just, like,
really?
I don't really think about any of that when I watch it. I thought, you know, she was a good main character. She did all the things she needed to do, all this, you know, the standard stuff, but there was no point in which I was like, man, I can just really connect with Raya, or Raya, however you want to say it.
That was Raya.
Okay. Raya.
So they say in the movie, isn't it?
I don't know.
You don't know, you just watched it.
Yeah, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. I don't get caught up on the minor details.
Like the character's main name, which is also, also in the title of the movie?
Yeah. Raya, Raya, tomato, tomato. That's kind of how I look at it.
All right, fair enough.
I think my issue, why I paused so long on that question, is because I don't think she changed enough. It's like from when she was a child to when she was an adult, like hunting down all the gems. There's like 10 years and not that much changed. I mean, there was some change, but it wasn't evident until we were kind of getting towards the climax of the movie where she had to choose to, like, trust people. Like, that's when we saw the change in her that 10 years had. And that was, like, three quarters of the way through the movie. So I guess I wanted to see that right when she's in the desert there a little bit more. Like, maybe she's hardened and has just like a distaste for people or something, so she can be softened towards the end of the movie and hope restored, you know. There wasn't like a big character arc. It was like
Yeah,
that'll be fun to listen to.
And it made that noise.
Yeah, you should do a sound effect for like character arcs in all of our movies now. Just be like, all right, Silas, how does this character arc sound to you?
Okay, that'll be a reoccurring segment. And it was like, look forward to that, listeners.
That'd be good. And that was the character arc sound of our podcast. Oh,
yeah, I get what you're saying. I found her a little bit, I don't know if like one dimensional is the right word, but just like there didn't really feel like there was that much. She didn't really feel like she had very many distinguishing like character traits. She was a very like generic hero, I felt like. Of like, mm-hmm. She was just like, I'm tough and strong and I'm a warrior and I'm gonna
get my dad back.
Yeah, but like she didn't really seem to have a lot of like internal conflict.
Exactly.
Like, character, like there wasn't, she didn't really have any like fatal flaws other than her like her trust issues or whatever, which weren't very well developed.
Right. I mean, that turned out to be quite literally a fatal flaw, because then she snapped and caused the crossbow to fire.
Okay, but let's talk about that.
Oh,
so,
dude.
Like, let's
frustrate me so bad.
Well,
so
we should wait. We should wait on that a little bit.
Okay. We'll wait.
Don't you think there are like other... like, that's pretty...
Yeah. Like, well, here I want to kind of build up Raya's story arc before that, before we get to that. So we'll just until that point, and then we'll come back to it, right? But like when we first meet her, hang on, my dad is knocking on the door. I think.
Pause.
Sorry. Continue. Go. You guys can keep talking.
Hey, Mr. Deloge.
What were we?
I don't know where he
about?
Was going with that.
Yeah. Raya.
Yeah, we first met her. She was a little warrior. She was tasked with protecting the one stone piece.
Yeah, that was going to be like her job. And then she was betrayed by...
All right, guys. Well, that was our episode. Thank you for listening.
Sorry.
No. David's back.
Yes. So what I was going to say is like, maybe you guys already talked about this, but like, at the beginning of the movie, she's like generally not distrustful of like when her dad's like, the other nations are coming. She's like, we have to fight them. And then he's like, no, we're going to be friendly to them. And then all of a sudden she's like very like friendly towards Namari. And then she like trusts her, which turns out to be a legitimately bad, like a legitimate mistake. Like Namari like straight up betrays her trust. So like her like distrust in people is founded in like, somebody legitimately like stabbed her in the back, metaphorically speaking. And then like the rest of the movie, she like doesn't trust anybody. And
but
so
like,
it's kind of like,
she does.
Except for like,
everybody she meets on the journey.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Except for like, yeah, the convenient like person from each nation symbolizing them coming together as one. Like,
oh, yeah. Let's go over that real quick. Who are the people from the nations?
Okay. Let's get into that, because that'll also be a good segue into my other question. Who is your favorite character?
There was Shrimp Boy.
Shrimp Boy.
Baby and the Monkeys.
That was so dumb. She almost lost the entire like nation to a baby and some monkeys. Yeah. Like, she almost blew it.
To be fair, this baby is like randomly like a ninja gymnast at the age of like 1.5. Like, what's up with that?
Fine.
There's no way that baby can walk, let alone do all that it did.
Yeah, like what was that?
What was it? The other guys. So the other guy reminded me of the dude from Guardians of the Galaxy that Batista plays.
Yeah. But this guy's name was, the actor's name is Benedict Wong.
Yeah, he's also a Marvel character. He's like Captain, or not Captain, Doctor Strange's like sidekick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's in a lot of things.
Kong was his voice.
I think he was my favorite character.
Yeah,
as far
I
as
him.
Like, He was at least kind of like funny.
Like he even had more like character development almost than Rhea.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like his like whole village is dead and he is like he sees like the like a parallel there with his own like turned to stone daughter and the little baby whose name is Noi, which I felt like had to be short for annoying.
Yeah.
Because she was like my least favorite character.
Yeah, me too.
Shrimp
Hats
Boy
off
is
to you,
my favorite.
Benedict Wong. Hats off to you for being a minor character with more character development than the main character.
Yeah. He was funny. I thought he was funny.
Shrimp Boy was also pretty funny.
Yeah, he was solid.
I got a few good chuckles out of him.
I was not a fan of the like multiple personality bit. I was like, I think we can move on from that one. Like,
yeah. The chef and the captain.
Yeah, I was glad they didn't like make that a thing because I feel like that's been done enough times.
Yeah, it was funny enough.
And I think they did it in Avatar: The Last Airbender. There's definitely a character who has multiple personalities, and when they did that, it was funny. Now, not so much.
Mm. Tough crowd.
Yeah, I'm like hard on this movie.
Hey, we're not pulling any punches.
Yeah.
That's
what
the people
no
come to
sevens
us for.
Here.
No.
Did you find this movie funny?
I wouldn't call.
Like Shrimp Boy and like a tiny bit.
Just
of it.
In general.
Yeah.
Not terribly.
I wouldn't classify the movie as funny, but. I did chuckle at a few parts.
I agree with that. I didn't find it very funny. I felt like it should have been funnier. Did you find the dragon funny?
Because
she was clearly supposed to be a humorous character. And Silas, you texted us during like the week.
I texted you while I was watching it. Yeah.
Okay. So you're not a fan of the dragon?
I'm not a fan of the voice of Awkwafina.
Oh, why not? Like
it's so annoying to me. I don't know if it's like her raspy, like nasally.
Okay.
Thing that goes on. No, it grades on my hearing.
Okay, so it wasn't like a persona thing. It was just.
I think she was in. Which I think she was in like Crazy Rich Asians or something.
Yes, she was.
Which yeah, she was also. She's just. I think she's super annoying. Everything I've seen her in.
I don't know that I've ever seen her in anything.
I've ever seen her in.
Nah, no, I don't think I have.
As far as I know.
Yeah, the voice, I mean, I didn't find the dragon funny, Sisu. I mean, like with anything else, there were moments, you know, there are probably a few lines that I thought were kind of funny. But like I said, it just was, they had the attitude of a cat and just like stupid and ditzy, like, ooh, I don't really know what I did to get here and all this other stuff. And I was like, I don't know. That didn't do it for me.
Like some of the lines that were written for the dragon were good, but I think if somebody else had delivered them, they would have been way better.
Yeah. Okay.
I just don't think you could ever top Mushu as a cartoon dragon.
This is true.
He was so funny.
The bar is pretty high for cartoon dragons.
Yeah. I did feel a little bit. And Sisu is kind of this like very, she's a little bit of this like Mushu, like genie-esque type of role.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a tough one to fill, I feel
very
like.
Very tough.
I liked her. I thought she was okay. Not like a groundbreaking performance, but.
Yeah, I like the character and the writing for it, just like fine. It was just I think the casting bothered me more than anything.
Purely the voice.
I wish that they would have developed Sisu as well, because she also does not really have any. So like when we first meet her, she's kind of like she seems like she's supposed to be portraying this kind of like sort of like incompetent, like similar to Mushu, of like this kind of like. This person who's a dragon, and you think like, oh, they're a dragon, they must be awesome, but it's kind of like, but I'm actually like an incompetent dragon, I'm like not that good at it, I'm kind of like awkward and like out of it and whatever. But there was no real like conflict around that. There was no like, oh, it was her that was like, it was her fault that the Droon showed up because she like messed it up, or like she had to redeem herself or anything like that. There were like no consequences for her being, like, she didn't really have any actual flaws. Like her flaws of like being a not good dragon didn't actually ever do anything bad other than just her like being naive, I guess. But yeah, she never like, it never really like caused her any like problems or conflict with any of the other characters, really.
Yeah, because she was always bailed out.
Yeah, go ahead, Kale.
Oh, well, that's all I was going to say. She was always like, you know, the one time, whatever village it was with the old lady as the chief, mm-hmm. you know, you're like, oh, she's about to get in trouble here. She, you know, because of her trusting, you know, pretty much everybody, she's going to get in trouble. But she didn't get in trouble. It was just she got bailed out like immediately. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, David.
Did the old lady die? What happened to her? I can't remember.
Probably she was just knocked there. Over. Probably fell and broke. She just got knocked over. Yeah.
She deserved
it. I think they just closed the gate and everybody got on the other side. I don't remember how Sisu got on the other side.
Oh, I think the smoke, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she
the
like
fog.
Gave her the dragon thing and
okay.
That's right.
Was there something else we were going to talk about? Because I want to talk about these dumb powers. There was not a single power that was good. Okay, you have glowing. Whoa.
That was kind of a weird.
You've got
power, yeah.
Shape shifting was the coolest power by far.
Definitely. Yeah, that one's pretty valid. Fog? It's pretty solid.
Why is fog a power?
If you ever gotta like make a getaway. I mean, to be fair, for as kind of like apparently useless as a power as that fog was, she did make pretty successful use of it, I guess.
I mean, I guess, all but that's considered. Like in Call of Duty, how many of us actually use smoke grenades? Not many. Like, it's just fog. I mean, could have done.
Caleb's and really then, dating himself here, making a Call of Duty reference.
The last was like rain stepping. Now all of a sudden you can walk on raindrops.
And it's like they all had to be, they all had to be water related to fight the monsters or whatever.
Yeah, the dragons.
But they're not all water dragons or whatever, right? Or am I just mistaken in that?
Well, it seemed like all the dragons had all of those powers at the end because they were all just kind of like galloping along like,
yeah,
do-do-do-do-do, like, and
what's up with that?
Yeah, and also I guess I was thinking that when we first met Sisu, that it was gonna be, she was just like, oh, I'm really good at swimming, and it was gonna be almost like this like Percy Jackson type of thing where it's like she's like, I don't have a power, and that, like, oh, my siblings have powers and I don't have powers, and her power is that she's really good at swimming because she can control water, and she was gonna like use that to like fight the Droon and whatever, and that never happened, and that would have even been like. More, that's like a super like cliche like
the water
story,
Toa,
like, yeah, and that would have been a more of a thing than like what we got. Yeah, so I was a little, I don't know, I thought that Sisu's arc as well could have been more developed. I mean, I think if anything, if they had just focused on developing the character arcs for Raya and Sisu, that would have easily bumped this movie up like 1 to 2 points in my mind. What did you guys think about having a female lead / a predominantly female cast?
I didn't think a thing about it. Thought it was cool.
Interesting. That was actually one thing that I did like about this movie, is that most of the characters are female, which is cool, but it wasn't like about that. Like at no point are they like, no part of the plot was about the fact that she was like, and I can be a warrior cause I'm a girl, or like,
right.
Like there was no part of it that was about like drawing attention to the fact that like she was a girl. It was just like the hero is a girl and she's doing
the
thing.
Characters are girls.
Yeah. But you could have just like subbed in a like guys for all the characters and it would have been essentially the same story. I mean, the bad guy would have been Prince Zuko at that point, but
Just give him a scar.
Yeah. But I thought that was cool.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, I mean, that's the way to do it. Don't draw attention to it either way. You know, just like,
yeah,
this is how the movie is. And that's just, and that's where I think you don't have to, you know, there's no reason to be overly
heavy handed.
Yeah. One way or the other, you know, like I didn't, like you asked the question, David, I didn't really think anything about it. I didn't think, oh, wow. You know, these girls are so powerful and strong, and you know, I didn't feel like empowered. It was just like, oh, that's what it is. This is just how this movie is. And I think that's the best way to portray, if you are wanting to send a message to young girls watching the movie, it's just like, just do it, you know, and they see this and like, okay, cool. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought that's like probably my favorite thing about this movie is just the fact that they executed that part very well. It was like the opposite of like the she's got help scene from Endgame, which was like so bad, not because we're like against female superheroes, but because it just felt so contrived that it felt like almost like we were like
cringe.
Like the directors were like talking down to you. It was like, what is this? Like, this is ridiculous. Like why would you just randomly throw this moment in here? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, versus just like being like, hey, here's all these female heroes and they're just doing their thing, whatever, they don't need to make a big deal about the fact that they're a girl. Like, I don't know, I feel like I'm starting to sound bad, but like they should just be able to execute without it like mattering whether or not they're a girl.
So
I felt like I felt like that was one thing that was good about this movie that I liked.
Yep, you nailed it.
One of the girl characters was Namari. What did you guys think of Namari as a villain? I was getting, as I already mentioned, serious Prince Zuko vibes.
Yeah,
haircut and all.
Like,
seriously, okay.
Yeah.
The haircut, like, I feel bad for Namari because she's in rough shape, and you can tell because not only has she not changed her haircut since she was like 12 years old, like literally, but her haircut is also exactly the same as her mom's haircut.
Her mom's, yeah.
Like that, when that's the place that you're in, like, that's kind of a dark place to be.
Yep. I did like how they referenced the haircut in the movie, which was kind of funny.
Did they?
Oh, did they?
Did you catch
they say?
That? Yeah. Raya.
Oh.
Says something about the undercut.
Yeah, she like called her like Princess Undercut or something like that.
Yeah. And I thought that was pretty funny. I mean, I thought she was a good villain and you know, she turned soft at the end, which that's fine, I guess. But I had no qualms, no issues.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt rushed again, like Reyes character, I think. She sped through all the character arc with her.
So what, wait, so what noise did her character arc make?
It's probably the same as Reyes, like
okay. I can't quite remember, so could you, yeah, okay, there it is.
Yeah, little bump right there at the end. That's all the development. Otherwise it's like a flat line.
Very good.
Let's talk about like the, since we kind of talked about Namari, that'll kind of circle us around to, so I guess the climax of the movie where Namari is holding Sisu at crossbow point.
Crossbow point. That's such
and
a
it all like
say.
Blows up and Sisu gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys feel like Raya was responsible for Sisu's death?
No.
100%.
Oh.
Really?
Whoa.
So Silas, you say yes 100%. Caleb, you say no.
No, there would be no death if there were no crossbow. Who brought the crossbow?
This is true. This is
and
true.
It's like you bring in a crossbow. You're bringing a crossbow to a knife fight. And how?
Crossbow wins every time because he does crossfit.
If nothing else, how on earth did she hide that thing? It's huge. She didn't have it down her pants.
where did it come from?
I did not even think about that.
Oh,
what?
Dude, just, I mean, I was like, okay. It's just it was so underneath. Many. That whole scene frustrated me underneath. So bad.
It was underneath her bangs.
Very puzzled by that now. That bothers me.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
That's a good point. I haven't thought about that.
Pulled it out of the ground? I mean, I don't know.
So do you still feel like Raya is responsible, Silas? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cece was about to talk her down. I think she would have won her over, and then Raya just like jumped the gun. And
I think he'd be jumped the crossbow.
Jumped the crossbow, sorry. Crossbow point. Yeah, jumped that. And got her like killed. I think she would have just like, it would have been a much less exciting movie, but I think that would have been a peaceful ending if had Raya not been impulsive and distrusting.
Yeah, I tend to lean towards. So here's kind of my issue with Raya's character arc that we kind of referenced before is like,
you mean
she's not trusting, randomly trusts somebody who happens to be Namari. Namari legit betrays her in like a devastating way that results in her dad getting turned to stone. She spends like six years of her life trying to get the dragon gem stuff, and Namari is like, you know, hunting her down the whole time, or presumably or whatever, right? But Namari is like her enemy, right? And then like Namari shows up, apparently is like trying to like make amends, and then all of a sudden pulls out a crossbow. And so it's kind of like, okay, wait a second. Namari is the person who legit like started this whole thing in the first place, legit stabbed me in the back the one time I tried to trust somebody, and now is holding a crossbow pointed at the like the dragon, the only dragon that's supposed to like save everybody. Like, at that point, I would feel like, okay, I feel like we can probably assume that Namari can't be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt, I mean, I don't know. Like, at that point, I'm kind of like, is it really unreasonable for her to, like, freak out a little bit when Namari is, like has her finger on the trigger? I don't think so.
That's fair.
So... that was what I kind of like flopped for me for this movie. It was like, there's like a ton of emphasis on the moral of the story of like, we got to trust each other. But like most of the time when Raya actually like does trust people or whatever, it like kind of like blows up in her face, like Namari, case in point. So it's not like she's like averse to trusting people to the point of like damaging people, or like, she's been betrayed and has become jaded of like, no, it's like she's been put in legitimately like betraying situations with people where she like tried to trust them and they legitimately took advantage of that. So for me, it's kind of like, I mean, there's kind of a side of like, you know, use a little discretion here. Like, so I don't know. That was kind of frustrating of like, they like hammered the moral of the story so hard, but I felt like the situations where it was like important like didn't really make sense in the context of like what was actually happening.
It's true.
I agree. I mean, I don't think Raya was completely blameless in the whole, you know, crossbow thing, but it just comes down to who brought the crossbow
and yeah, from I think, where
yeah and from yeah. where even maybe more importantly from where.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Raya obviously messed up, but I don't think it was like a trust issue thing. I think it was just like a body language reading kind of thing. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Anything else you guys want to add? Because the last thing I want to talk about are like some of the like plot holes and like the kind of the way this whole thing works in the beginning.
Wait.
You got anything else?
No, that's not what I was saying. I think we've touched all the things I had thoughts on. Big. big topic okay. was.
Here's one thing that we haven't talked about a whole lot yet. Sisu coming back to life. Is that a cop out?
Mm. Yes.
Yep.
I agree. I was like, this is a little like what? Like they can just randomly bring her back to life?
What's yeah, the deal I with mean, that? Stuff like Lion King. Mufasa dies. He doesn't come back other than yeah. in ghost form.
Yeah. Kids need to learn that death kids is need permanent.
Death.
Yeah, now there's all these kids out there who think that they can just shoot somebody with a crossbow and a bunch of, like, furry dragons that are come along and bring them back to life.
Exactly.
It's exactly. not how it works. It's not how it works, kids.
Yeah.
Dragons yeah, die.
I didn't like that
crossbows
part of the movie.
Kill.
Practice appropriate crossbow safety. don't bring
mess
a crossbow to a dragon gem exchange.
Don't do it.
Never.
Don't bring a sword to a crossbow fight. All right, that's enough. All right, so here's my last kind of like beef with this movie.
Let's hear it.
Is how does anybody know what happened the first time the Droon showed up anyway? Right? Okay, because like here's my thing. Is like Raya finds Sisu by following this map. And the whole thing with the map is it's like legend says that when Sisu like activated the dragon gem, she like floated down the river or whatever. I didn't even understand exactly what that was about. But it's like, okay, so like Sisu is like at the end of one of these like river tributary things. It's like, but how do they know that? Okay, because what we saw was, so like everybody else was turned to stone except for Sisu and her like siblings, right? And her siblings like used their powers to create the dragon gem and gave her the dragon gem, and then they turned to stone. And then Sisu like uses a dragon gem, pulls an 11 and disappears. How does anybody know where she went? Because like the only people who were not stone at when the dragon gem was even created were her siblings, who are now stone because the dragons didn't come back. So how do the humans even know who Sisu is, or like what the dragon gem is, or like how any of that happened, let alone where Sisu can allegedly be found? Because they were all stone. Like
I guess it was
the only
I
person.
Guess I was under the impression she floated down the river and disappeared after everybody turned back to real people or whatever. I don't remember the actual order of events in the movie, but so I can't.
Okay, but like when she like wakes up or whatever, like when Raya finds her, she like wakes up and it's like, oh, she's like, oh, we did it. Like she's just like she got knocked out right when the like the dragon gem thing, and she doesn't know what happened. She like she doesn't even know if it worked or not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that kind of gives me vibes of like she just kind of like disappeared. And so I'm kind of like, well, wait, like how does anybody even know what happened at all?
That well, I guess if sense. People like came awake or whatever, they could have seen her knocked out, unconscious carcass floating down the river.
This weird, furry, slithery dragon thing.
I don't know. Sounds like a stretch for me.
Like an accident. Plastic bag. Just like.
Yeah, do you ever
I don't know.
Feel?
Like I also did not like the fact that dragon. the Droon were like repelled by water. That was a little. I feel like these kinds of like pervasive monsters are always repelled by water.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a Quiet Place too.
Yeah, repelled. Well, I guess they just couldn't swim, but yeah, same difference. Same difference in terms of like security.
That's why we are the ultimate monsters.
Yes, we're not repelled by water doesn't scare us.
There's got to be some other monsters that are repelled by water, too. I'm, like, pretty sure.
Vampires?
I think that's holy water.
Rats.
I think I heard gorillas are afraid of water. I read that in a book, but I don't know if it's true.
Well, Kong, obviously, isn't.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of little minor details, I guess, that, and maybe... Maybe they're allowed to get away with this kind of stuff because primarily children are watching this film, and children don't necessarily think critically like that.
I guess. I feel like I watched them. What?
Oh, sorry. Are your lights completely off?
Yeah, because if I turn them on, they're just gonna be backlit, so you still won't be able to see me.
Well, that's fine.
I just don't have any lights that are like on this part of the.
Okay. What about your computer screen?
It's not that bright. I guess I'm just okay. Turning. Oh well, most of my lights are off anyway.
Sorry.
Sorry. It's just nature of the beast. I just don't have any lights that are in this part of the room.
It's a podcast. They don't need to see us.
Any other thoughts? We can go into ratings.
I don't think so.
All right. Who wants to start with ratings?
I'll go first. Give this a 4 for lack of plot, character development, rememberable music, and plot holes. Just all in all, it was, I don't know, forgettable.
Okay, I'll give it a 5. Just because middle of the road. I mean, nothing spectacular. I would turn it on for my, 3 and 4 year old cousins if they asked me to, but probably wouldn't stick around and watch it with them. If that means anything. So it's got to be a 5 for me.
I mean, I think we've all turned on like a kid's movie for some small child around us and then kind of got sucked in or something.
This is true. Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
But usually it's like a classic.
But yeah, or just like a... That's what I was going to say is like, maybe it is just for kids, but I watched some movies that are for kids that are pretty good. it's a 5 for me as well. I mean, I think there are definitely things that I like about this. I liked the way that they portrayed feminine... heroes. I liked the music. I thought the animation was high quality. But I just think from a story character standpoint, I didn't even think the acting was bad. But just from like a story and character standpoint, I think this movie could have been way better if they had just spent like another year just kind of like fleshing out like the story and the characters and really what they wanted to tell.
Amen, brother.
But they didn't, and so it's a 5 for me.
Bonus question. Did y'all like that it was like an all Asian cast for a movie kind of set in an Asian world?
Yeah, that's cool. I support that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way to go if you can make it work. It seems kind of strange to have non-Asian people doing Asian accents.
Seems kind of strange to have, I don't know, Eddie Murphy playing a dragon.
He did such a good job, though.
No, he did. Crushed it. He did. Like I said, Mushu, the pinnacle of animated dragons. One of the best animated dragons of all time. That's what some Tucker would say.
Tuk-Tuk is hard to argue with. Like,
Tuk-Tuk, he's just there. Who is that guy?
He's the little like armadillo roly thing.
Oh yeah,
he's hard to argue with. He's just there to be kind of cute and probably to sell some toys, but it's hard to dislike him.
In Thailand, a tuk-tuk is a vehicle used as urban transportations in cities like Bangkok.
That's cool.
Oh, very interesting. Was this movie? Was a lot of the like setting and like costume design and all that stuff? Was that based on? Like Thai, I guess. Thailand.
They
I don't know what the word I'm looking for is.
Land of Kumatra was inspired by Southeast Asian countries: Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, Myanmar, Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines.
Okay, that's the vibe I was getting.
Yeah, and it said it's the. I think the designers. Where is it? Well, they took a tour through Southeast Asia to get inspired.
That's cool. Yeah, I dig that. Yeah. That's what kind of bums me out about this movie is I felt like they were like so excited about that part that they just didn't like deliver on all the other stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here it is. The production team took a tour.
Then they get back and they're like, oh, we have to make a movie.
Somebody want to write a script for this?
Yeah.
Riot is the first non-Pixar Disney princess that does not sing.
Thank goodness.
Good for Raya.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I like a good little song here and there. I just do not like musicals.
Raya is the 13th Disney princess.
Is she I guess she is technically a princess, huh?
Yeah. Technically.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm not really seeing anything else that was super interesting. Apparently, when she had two sticks, when did she ever have two sticks? The only weapon I remember her having is the sword thing.
In the beginning, when she's a kid, she fights her dad with two sticks.
Okay. Well, that's like the Eskrima sticks, or I think it's called Kali as well.
That's cool. Yeah.
We use those in Taekwondo.
Ooh.
Ooh. Walt Disney's studio first film since Brother Bear to not be a musical. Brother Bear had enough songs to not be a musical.
Is Brother Bear not a musical?
It sure seems like one.
Does it count? I guess, does it only count if the characters sing?
Probably, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Brother Bear just like has a pinnacle spot in my memory for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
I don't know that I've ever seen it.
Because I feel like you've talked about like us watching it together, and I almost never think about Brother Bear.
Well, I don't know why either. And I have like specific memories around Brother Bear for some weird reason. But I don't like think about it often. Yeah.
I don't like think about it almost at all.
There we go.
All right.
That's all the good trivia.
Man. I feel a little sad now because I just feel like this movie could have been better than it was.
It had a lot of potential, I think.
Yeah. It just didn't quite get there.
Well, this has been our review of Raya and the Last Dragon. What's our next one going to be, gentlemen?
Okay. I have a request/recommendation.
Ooh, is this from Adam?
This is the one from Adam.
Okay.
So Adam was on Jesse Vaughn's podcast as a cinephile, which is fine. That's fine, Jesse. it's fine that like we were friends before you were friends with Adam, and then I already have an entire podcast devoted to movies. It's totally
What's Jesse Vaughn's podcast?
It's called the Secret Language Podcast. Anyway, I'm not bitter at Jesse.
What's it about?
It's just kind of about whatever he wants to talk about. Sometimes he does. When he first started, he was doing episodes with his brother, Matt. But I think Matt is pretty busy, so it's mostly just Jesse. And he just does them about, you know, whatever he's thinking about. It's pretty good. I like it. Y'all should listen to it, listeners. Sticking a little plug there for Secret Language Podcast.
Jesse's podcast.
Anyway, Adam was on his podcast, and he's talking about this movie, Andhad Hun, which is an Indian movie. And so I was texting Adam about him being on the podcast, and he was like, will you please watch Andhad Hun? And I was like, I'll watch Andhad Hun if you watch some competitive CrossFit. And he was like, okay, I will, because that's how much I care about this movie. So I started watching this movie, and I haven't finished it yet, but I think we should do a podcast episode on it because it's
pretty good.
I won't say it's pretty good because I don't want to spoil anything. I will say it's worth doing an episode on.
Okay.
I think.
I'll do
it. It's on Netflix. I think it's rated like PG-13 or like TV-14 or whatever. I don't know if they have like different ratings in India or whatever.
Now, don't tell me how it's spelled. I want to guess. Say it one more time for me.
Andhad Hun.
Okay, I'm going to say Ohnhadhun.
You got the last three letters correct.
Oh, so close.
It's much simpler than that. A-N-D-H-A-D-H-U-N.
A-N-D.
It translates to blindly.
Is it one word?
Yes. I'll put it in the... It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just start typing random letters in it. Hopefully it'll pop up.
Now, Caleb, you might want to block off some time for this because I think it's like 2.5 hours long.
Okay.
I'm trying not to talk. I'm trying not to talk about it because I've already started watching it. But
all right.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be real interesting because it's like we're trying to diversify our genres, you know, and this one is just like
it's our first Bollywood-esque film.
Yeah. It's not even in English, although they do talk in English sometimes, and I don't understand that part. Like, sometimes the characters were just, like, I guess, I don't know if in India they just kind of, like, sometimes speak English, too, because, like, sometimes the characters will just say a line in English, and there's no really clear reason why they've, like, switched to English, but they all understand each other, so I guess maybe in India, like, English is just commonly spoken along with Hindi, which I guess would make sense, because England colonized India for a great deal of time. So that would make sense. I don't know. If you have been to India or are Indian or can shed some light on this, let us know why they speak in multiple languages, and we'll talk about it when we do the actual episode. Maybe we'll probably record the episode before this comes out, so just tell us at some point. Anyway, let's wrap it up because we're getting off track.
Weird.
Thank you.
You're the only one talking.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
This has been our review of Rey and the Last Dragon. Next week, listen to this podcast while we talk about Anhunhun. I think.
Yes.
Link in the description.
Link in the description. Thank you so much.
Peace.
Thank you.